Good morning, church. I can tell you that it is good to be here today. So let's stand, let's open up in prayer. Father, we thank you once again that we have songs to sing. We can be here in church. And Father, now, we don't want to waste any time here this morning. We want to go straight to your throne room today. So Father, now we're going to come to you in spirit and in truth. And Father, we know that when we line up with your word, that you meet us 100%. So, Father, we just thank you for that now. We just have an awesome time of praise and worship. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm my beloved's and he is my defender.
Is that song true for you?
Yes, Lord.
You His beloveds, and He is yours.
This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full.
Amen.
Amen.
David danced before the Lord. He danced with all his might. His heart was filled with holy joy. His spirit was so light. Michael through the window looked and criticized his heart. She didn't know that David had a dancing heart. Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your heart a-dancing. The Holy Ghost will thrill you through and through. The Holy Ghost will set your heart a-dancing. Set your heart a-dancing too. David danced before the Lord to magnify his name. God's almighty presence, he felt no sense of shame. Oh, the craft he spoke that day, it quickened every part. He had an only dancing feet, he had a dancing heart. Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your heart a-dancing. Set your heart a dancing. The Holy Ghost will thrill you through and through. The Holy Ghost will set your feet a dancing. And set your heart a dancing too. There was celebration upon the Red Sea shore. Temples and deserts it became a dancing floor. The people sang. Set your heart a-dancing. The Holy Ghost will thrill you through and through. The Holy Ghost will set your feet a-dancing. And set your heart a-dancing too. Father's house with music meant to welcome home the sun. Wine was flowing full and free. Misery was gone. The elder brother looking on to wait. It wasn't fair. He hadn't got a dancing heart like all the others there. Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your heart a-dancing. The Holy Ghost will thrill you through and through. The Holy Ghost will set your feet a-dancing. And set your heart a-dancing too. Now many saints are cold and bound by unbelief today. They want the blessings of the Lord, but worry what men say. Let the Lord have full control from dead traditions far, and he will set you free within. You'll have a dancing heart. Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your heart a-dancing. The Holy Ghost will thrill you through and through. The Holy Ghost will set your feet a-dancing, and set your heart a-dancing too. Now in the Bible we can read that in the latter days, men would leave their first love and turn to carnal ways. The true-born saints of Jesus, with a bridegroom set apart, are waiting for his coming with a joyful dancing heart. Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your heart a-dancing. The Holy Ghost will thrill you through and through. The Holy Ghost will set your feet a-dancing. And set your heart a-dancing too.
Amen.
And that is the dancing heart.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that a good song? It's kind of a little bit of a sermon mixed in there.
Not by might, nor by
Find that in Zechariah 4, 6, and 7.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves, send the light, oh send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save, send the light, oh send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today, send the light, oh send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. Send the light, oh send the light, and the Christ-like spirit everywhere. Send the light, oh send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, oh send the light. Gather jewels for a crown of love. Send the light, oh send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore.
Amen.
At the cross. It's an offense to some. I was sitting here thinking as we were singing through this song, have you ever heard someone witness to somebody else and they say, you know, you have this God-shaped hole in your heart that only God can fill, right? And God has made this special key that'll fit inside your heart, and once He's filled, and you go, wait a second, can you show me anywhere in the Bible where it says that? It says here, at the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light. We take people to the cross and we tell them of their need for a Savior. 2,000 years ago, someone was hung up there, died this horrible, brutal death. Why? That's the message of the gospel. Very offensive. Very bloody. It's not about, you know, oh, you have this nice little hole in your heart and God's going to fill it. That's someone who's trying to do something. But we're singing, alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred, sacred head for such a worm as I? We take Him to the cross.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountains, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to all the lost. I hear I have been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. Chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountains, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled, by its transforming power, making him God's dear child, purchasing peace and heaven for all eternity. And the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountains, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise him.
Amen. Reaching the most defiled, and by its transforming power, making him God's dear child.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has got the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I pray till heaven I'm bound, Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I come to thee, I need thee every hour, stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh bless me now my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Enjoy your fame. Come quickly and abide. Oh, life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee, I need thee every hour, teach me thy will, and thy rich promises in me fulfill. I need thee, oh I need thee, every hour I need thee, oh bless me now my Savior. I come to thee, I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
Indeed.
I need thee, Lord, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. And I thank you, my Heavenly Father. I praise you, Lord God. I praise your holy name. I need thee, O Lord. And I ask you right now, let me be the channel, O Lord, that your power will go through. And people will be touched, I pray, in the name of Jesus. I ask you to use me. Not my will, but thy will be done, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we love you. We appreciate you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that you are with us. Your rod and your staff will comfort us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise your holy name. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Hallelujah. God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he quickened us together with Christ. For by grace we are saved. Hallelujah. And he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. By thee, O Lord, we have run through a troop. By my God have I leaped over a wall. It is God that girdeth us with strength and makes our way perfect. He makes our feet like hinds' feet. He sitteth us upon high places. Our Lord our God can do all those things. He can do all these things. He's faithful. He's gracious and full of compassion. He's merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments. And His ways are past finding out. Praise His holy name. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. What a wonderful Savior. Hallelujah. O Lord, You are a strong habitation. You be a strong habitation whereto we can continually resort. For You have given a commandment to save us. For You are a rock and a fortress. You are a rock and a fortress. Hallelujah. You are a hiding place. You shall preserve us from trouble. You shall compass us about with songs of deliverance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, and we want to say today, we're not going to be anxious for anything. But in all our ways, with prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, we're going to let our requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We're not going to be anxious about the finances of the church. We're not going to be anxious about how every seat will be filled in this house. All we need to do to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. We don't need to be anxious about the oil prices. We can give it on to You. We can surrender every need there is to You. And seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. To trust in You with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. But in all our ways acknowledge You and You shall direct our path. We need not to worry about people coming in and out. For You are in control of that as well. You can fill the place. You can bring people and You can take people away. But all we need to do to trust in You with all our heart, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. Hallelujah. Give it to the Lord. You said, come all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So we know the way. Give it to the Lord. And we surrender all to You this morning, Lord, everything, the needs of the church, the personal needs, everything that's going on in the world. We give it to You and trust in You that You are going to come through with healing in Your wings. Were You going to come through with victories one after the other? Because faithful is He that calleth us who also will do it. Hallelujah. And what God has promised, He is also able to perform. This is our God. This is the God that we serve. Hallelujah. 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 And our desire is, O Lord, to serve You, to praise You, to worship You in spirit and in truth. And put that fire within our hearts, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. For that fire, let it ignite, let it become a fervent fire. We pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, concerning the lost, concerning the sick, concerning the afflicted. And we want to thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, for giving us the victory in this body of believers. We pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And that also the high praises of God in our mouth and the two-edged sword in our hands. And we thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father. We pray, O Lord, that you anoint the pastor, that you will bring the message to us. Give him, O Lord, victory. Give him freedom to preach. Give him the anointing. We pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And let the word come out with power and pierce us like a two-edged sword. We pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for touching everyone that gives a testimony. Touch Michael as he gives the invitation. We pray, Lord, and let your name be glorified in every area of this ministry. We pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. So now every man as they purpose in their heart, let them give. Let them give not grudgingly, not of a necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Let us give to the work of the Lord. Let us give with gladness, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you may have always all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And Lord, we thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, for mighty victory in this body. And Lord, we want to give you all the praise. We want to give you all the glory, all the honor. And this prayer we pray in Jesus' precious and a mighty name. And all God's people said, amen and amen.
Morning, church. It is testimony time. Praising God, worshiping God, our Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit, what He is doing in your life this week and up to this day. So, anybody have a testimony this morning? Well, I do. I'm praising God that Jesus is in my heart and He died for me, and that I can keep my eyes on the Lord. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I'm praising the Lord for this week that He got me through another one, and that the work is coming in, and I'm staying busy, and One really good thing that's happened to me this week is that I'm able to not go out to the garden and turn the water on. I'm praising God for that. That's been very difficult for me because, you know, I feel like I want to get out there and still pick and still do a lot in the garden, but it's not what God wants me to do right now. So I'm praising the Lord for that. And thank you. So, yes, ma'am.
Good morning. There's a scripture that just came to my heart, and I want to share this one, and then whatever the Lord wants me to share about. This is in Psalm 16, and it says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." If a person read this and have the Holy Spirit to witness what is a pleasure and what is a joy of the Lord, he can understand this really well. Because there's a lot of pleasures that we all have and seek in life, and God is know about that, and he blesses us just by giving us the sight to see his creation and the beauty of some of the things that he make. I enjoy every time we go on vacation, we have opportunity to go to the islands. And every time I go there, I just look at the beauty, and I just cannot stop thinking about him. How beautiful. I talk to people about the Lord, have an opportunity there. I always tell them, it's so real, the creation that God, there is a creator behind this. How can you see a little fish, a tropical fish, that the dots on the right and on the left is perfectly at the same distance, and the colors and the beauty? This could never happen by somebody creating it that has the mind and the ability to do that. And in every flower, everywhere, you see the beauty of God. But there is a pleasure that's greater than the one that our senses perceive, and that is his presence. And we all seek his presence different ways, and sometimes we fall into the deception of looking at the pleasure that is a fake pleasure that the enemy gives. Is a fleshly pleasure or excitement. And many times our heart is seeking God, but falls into deception. But when we are sincere and really seek his word and keep on looking at the blood of Jesus and at the cross, we cannot get deviated too much. And if we do, he has a way to pull us back again into the way that he is. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And in my vacation, I was just enjoying myself and thanking God and trying to seek his word and asking him for some divine encounters that he may provide. And the last few days, before we left, I was in the elevator and somebody started talking to me, and I perceived he was not American, and he told me he's from India, and that he went to see some sites, and we talk about it for a minute. And that was all. This next day, I was alone in the elevator with somebody that looks just from India like he was. And that was another person from the family member, and start talking to me. So I just felt like drawn to this, but I start praying for them. And the day before we left, I went to wash some clothes to the laundromat, and the dryer that I wanted to use was filled with clothes, and it wouldn't stop, and I saw it was dry, and I needed to use the dryer, so I pulled the clothes on the table on the side and put my clothes in. I said, I'm going to wait and tell the people that the clothes were dry, I needed to use the dryer, we were leaving. And the Lord says, why don't you start folding those clothes? And it was so interesting because there were children clothes. And I said, okay. So I start folding those clothes that they were dry, where mine was drying. And the Lord said, anoint those clothes as you dry them. Pray for the people. And I said, okay, so I'm praying for those clothes and while my dryer is going on. And then this woman come, and of course she is from India. And she was the wife of this first man that I met. So I started talking to her. I told her, I apologize for taking her clothes out. And oh, she was so grateful. She said, thank you so much for folding my clothes. And where are you from? And they came from Washington, D.C. And we start talking and talking and talking. And then I told her, I said, where are you from? She said, well, I'm from India. And but we were here. And I said, well, I know a little bit about it. And I said, I know that people have a lot of different faith and believe in different things. And we start talking, and I start telling her about the Lord, and her heart was so open. And she and I told her that I'm a born again Christian. The Lord told me to express that very often. When you talk to people and somebody else that I talk to, you don't say I'm just a Christian. She said, I'm a born again Christian, because they know. I said, oh, you are. And is the two or three times that I mentioned that born again, they immediately kind of put you in another category there. I don't know, because they have this Christianity world vision, but there is a difference. So then you can really focus in the new birth and in the cross and in the bloodshed for us. So this opportunity with her, I was there for about half an hour with her, and she was agreeing with many, many things I shared with her. And I told her about how to receive salvation. And then she says, well, I may do it. I'm not ready right now. I said, just trust that when you open your heart and you seek him, he will be found of you. And it was the blood and was the cross. And when I left, the pleasures forevermore were there, because that was the presence of the Lord. It's a different pleasure than when you have a greatest meal, when you buy the more nicest item that you cherish, that you have the happiness maybe because of the family that is successful. But the pleasures forevermore, and the joy unspeakable and full of glory, is when you are in a position of share the truth of that new birth and new life that you have with somebody else. And I just wanted to share that. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning, church. Good morning. I just wanted to get up this morning and praise the Lord for the garden that we're no longer attending anymore. You know, as a Christian, there's many things that God gives us. And the ability to grow a garden, and what we did this year, was bigger than anything we've ever done in our life. I felt like I was wealthy beyond whatever money could buy, because I had so much food to eat, so much food to give away, and it was just a blessing to be able to have and to give and to share. And some of those things are the simple pleasures that God gives us that don't cost anything but your labor, your time, and your faith that God's going to grow the garden. And in growing a garden, you're out there by yourself. You commune with God. You can pray. You just think about things. And it's a great time to commune with God, because nobody's out there and you're not worried about anything. And it's a blessing in a lot of ways to grow a garden and to experience the miracle of taking one little tiny seed, making this little green plant that grows to a huge green plant that yields this abundance of food, and then withers away back into the ground like it never was. But what it did when it was here was totally miraculous, and nobody can reproduce but God. That is a great miracle of God. And that's fun as a Christian to see and do and partake in. It's really a blessing. And I just praise God for the garden experiences here. It was great.
A couple things. So you're discovering the world of zucchinis, right? People that start their first garden and always overplant in those, and eventually you have to get up at 4 a.m. when it's dark and take it around to people's doorsteps and leave them there. And people say, oh, no, here comes that zucchini lady again. Especially the ones you got, you know, we ate for 2 or 3 days on what the couple that we got from you. Years ago, I used to direct my efforts more to God and the Word of God, and then I got back into the secular world. The last week or two, I've had a number of results that used to be commonplace, and now they are again. We're struggling with this house over in the Bay Area, and so we rushed over. A guy wanted to show the house on a one-time handshake listing, which was fine, and it didn't work out. But I started talking with him. I found out he was Greek. I said, oh, well, we got a Greek. Are you a Christian? And instead of just saying, oh, I got to get back and pack boxes, I talked to him for a while. He said, well, I think so. I said, no, that's something you know. I said, you need to talk to our guy, Soteris. You speak Greek? He said, oh, yeah. I said, fine, I'm going to introduce you. So I talked to him just a little bit about that, and he was most interested. So you'll be hearing from me, Soteris. Well, that was one thing that's very nice. The second thing is the answer to prayer came this way. We got Pop's car ready to drive back, and we had it pre-sold. So we had to leave after working very hard and packing boxes. We were exhausted. It was a 24-hour thing down and back. And when we left, I said, honey, I don't have a cell phone anymore, so we're going to have to really work this out. You follow me. And it's scary at 4 o'clock in the afternoon at Bay Area. Traffic is unbelievable. So I said, you got to stick behind me and so forth. So it didn't take long before she was 7 or 8 cars behind me, and I'm looking at the mirror and so forth. I'm praying, God, you know, and give her the strength, you know, not to get scared and everything. So we pulled on the Highway 242 to head for Antioch, and that was fine. She was behind me. I said, oh, boy. And all at once her lights flashed like that, and I thought, so she's telling me that she caught up. She's only 4 cars behind now. And I kept going on Highway 242, and I saw Diane peel off on a street, and I thought, oh, no, I mean, it's right away mentioned God, protect her, help her find a way back on the road. I had no choice. I had to stick in a strange car, and I didn't know if it was going to overheat. I went probably 22 miles before there was a way off the road, and all at once there was a tree with shade off the road, and I pulled over there and started asking God to protect her because she was scared and tired and everything else. And I went about 40 minutes. I'm looking at the rearview mirrors and everything and just thinking, oh, boy. And all at once I saw the old Mercedes diesel coming up there, and we waved. And later we stopped and gave her a big hug, and we thanked God for that. It was a minor miracle, but not really. But the biggest one happened last night. I called on a business thing for a meeting that's coming up, and I called a lady over in Santa Rosa that I know from another business. And it didn't take long before we were talking about Jesus instead for the next 2.5 hours till like 1:30 this morning. But she needed a lot of help, and she'd found a lot of help. And she asked me about a particular ministry. I won't mention the name. I said, yeah, I know about that one. She said, well, I got delivered there one time in Arizona. And I said, well, deliverance is more than a one-time thing. Was it a tap on the head and hula hula? And she said, oh, no, it was a session. So we talked, and I said, well, what you need to do is go through a full deliverance program with Pastor Terrell. And I told him an awful lot about John's background for the last 35 years and his book and everything. And we didn't. But a point, and I'll leave it with this, we discussed this Good Samaritan. And years ago, I finally concluded that I'd learned the real lesson with that. I've mentioned that before to some of you, that the Good Samaritan story was much more than a simple story about doing a nice thing. But God showed how the Samaritan, who was hated by the Jews, and first the guy was beaten, you know, by the side of the road and left for dead. And the Levite crossed over and went away, the holy man, and another Jewish guy paid no attention and went. But it was the hated Samaritan that gave him the aid. But the point that I learned from that was he took him to the inn and said, I go on to business, and when I return, if I owe you any more, I'll pay it. And it struck me 4 or 5 years ago, I said, that's the answer for me. all my life I've been the Good Samaritan, but I didn't always have the money to do what I tried to do for people. Give, 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 give. And here was a story. This guy focused on business because that's what his skill was. And if he hadn't done that, he wouldn't have the money to be a Good Samaritan. So I thought I'd learned everything. And Cindy said, well, that's a powerful lesson. I thought I'd learned my lesson from that, because what I got from that was the Samaritan did not take in, he didn't know whether the guy was evil, whether he deserved to be beaten, or he didn't care, he was merciful, but he didn't take the guy to his house and bring possibly an evil spirit into his house. I said, you know, I never thought of that. But that was another good point. So it left with this. She said, send me that link, send me that link. I said, you need to hear Pastor Terrell if you want to hear the word. So that was a joyous thing. We never did get back to business. Well, I was with her till almost 1:30 this morning. So that was my blessing for the day and testimony. Thanks.
Praise the Lord and good morning. You know, I'm very happy that I'm on this side of the grass. Some of you might not understand what that means, but you know, in the cemeteries, they have grass on top of the graves. And I'm happy I'm on this side of the grass, not, you know, on the other side where you see the roots. So praise God. Well, we have some good news. We have some needs. And I think it will start off with the good news. Are you ready for that? Can you take some good news? All right. How many of you remember Randy Hoyam from Indiana? Quite a few of you. Well, this is a letter, actually an email from his wife. And she went through deliverance about maybe half a year, 8-9 months ago through Our Ladies. And then he came out and he went through deliverance. So this is a kind of a dysfunctional family that is now functional. And so I want to share this with you. Tonight at the Bible study, I met a man in a Wayndale Walgreens parking lot. God must have a sense of humor, because Sunday night during church service, I wrote a note to God asking him to send someone to me who wants to hear about salvation, and who would let me lead them through the sinner's prayer, also for the Holy Spirit to put his words in my mouth. The man I met in the parking lot happened to be a drunk beggar. I just got in my car, and as this man approached me, it is not my inclination to lock my door, roll my window up, and keep the window down just a crack to find out what a person wants. But instead, I got out of my car, stepped away from it so I could talk with him. It was still very much light out and people around me, so I felt safe. The man immediately asked me for some money, and I initially told him I would not give him any, because I thought he might go drink it. As he carried on about his circumstances and why he needed the money, I told him I just left church, asked him if he lived nearby, and had he ever heard of Wayndale Baptist Church. He told me he lived close by, but never heard of the church. So I started talking about Jesus. And when I spoke the name of Jesus, the man told me he wanted to hear more. He told me he has done so much wrong in his life, he's sure God will not forgive him. So I talked to him about salvation, how he would repent of his sins and ask Jesus into his heart and mind and his personal Lord and Savior, that all of his sins would be washed clean and his feet would be set on solid ground. I asked him if he would like for me to pray with him or pray for him, and he said yes. So standing out in a Walgreens parking lot, I took his hand and we both bowed our heads, and I led him through the sinner's prayer. All the while, I know it's the Holy Spirit putting the words in my mouth, specifically to meet the needs of this particular soul. The Holy Spirit also urged me to share with this man that now he has asked Jesus into his life, that Jesus can deliver him from his addictions, restore his mind so he can live the life Jesus wants him to live. I told him also that now he's prayed a sinner's prayer, that he will no longer be able to lie, steal, and cheat without his conscience burning him, and that there will be no more solace for him when he drinks and does drugs. I believe, because I was sincere, the Lord is faithful in this circumstance. And as he prayed with his head bowed, I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of me and all around both of us. I knew in that moment that this man was being given a second chance by the Lord himself, that I was merely being used as his vessel to carry the message. After we prayed, I gave him the name and number of the church, and I also took his name and number, told him my husband and I would contact him before Sunday to give him an opportunity to come to church with us. His name is Randy Terry. He showed me his driver's license, and he's 37 years old. He told me he wants to be a minister, and I shared with him that with Jesus, all things are possible. I just wanted to take a minute and share this with you. I have never really spoken to anybody about Jesus who is lost. I've never led anyone through the sinner's prayer until now. And I've been told in Sunday school that if we ask God for someone to share the gospel with, he would send that someone in your way. And he really will. I've just learned. Praise the Lord. Now, that's pretty good for a lady that was dysfunctional and with a family was just up in arms. So we ought to praise God for that and thank him for that. This one is from Germany. And this is from Peter. Peter just went through deliverance this week. And he wrote this a day before he went through his deliverance. Praise God. It's happening. I have been listening to the tape on prayer all week. He's listening out to course number 2, Christian Dynamics. And I realized that I want and need that special prayer tongue. And today I was reading 1 Samuel 13. And that took me back to 1989 when I prayed for a wife. My parents can testify to this. My lips moved and no sound came out. Today, I pray that I will be able to speak in tongues once again. And I did. I will not be eating anything until Sunday. Thanks for all the prayer support. We can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. God bless you. And that's a good praise report from Peter. And that brings me to the next prayer request here. Our deliverance team in Belgium finished up yesterday and there was no problems. We need to pray for Peter that he'll be able to find himself once the demons are gone, that he will grow in Christ. You know, it is so important with a follow-up. They also requested prayer for the elected political leaders in Belgium. After the election, there was no clear winners. They are squabbling over how to form a coalition government. Everything is at a standstill in a nation, and there is no leadership. Sounds like California. So we're going to pray for that, that God will do that. Now, I want to say this to you. Belgium is the home of the European Union, EU. Brussels is the capital of EU. And what we have done is this, God has used us to be in the very heart of the beast to come. And so, no wonder we'll be getting some resistance. All right. Here's another praise report. This is a good week for the people who love Jesus Christ and walk in his love. The war between Israel and Iran did not happen as many had predicted. Now, I don't know if you understood how close we were to war this week. It did not happen. Remember in 1981, the Israelites took out the nuclear reactor in Iraq. I mean, Iraq was a sovereign nation. Israel never bothered with that. They just flew their planes over, pulverized the reactor. They went up to Syria about a year ago and pulverized the beginning of a nuclear reactor there. No one asked the questions. So they had planned to do the same thing, but for some reason, they didn't do it. As a result, the oil price continued to drop and ended up at $73.82 per barrel. The weekly drop was $1.57. So your prayer was worth $1.57 last week. So praise the Lord for that. Now we have to remember that the devil is on a different timetable than humans. He and his demons do not die, and time is on his side. Listen to this now. A week for the devil, 1 week, 7 days, is just about 2 seconds for the devil. That's eternity time, 2 seconds. And thus, he's not impressed by having a loss during a 2 second period. The spiritual battle must continue, and prayer and fasting are the keys to victory. Next, we're going to pray for Vasily Kostrykin. He was in a car accident about 3 years ago, had damage to his nose. Surgery was done on the nose, and as a consequence, there was some bone loss. He's been plagued with headaches, sinus drainage, which had caused a gum infection. And let us pray that God will give him a creative miracle. So we pray for him. And he was not able to make it. Now, for 12 years, my wife and I have known Thomas Burns. And you know that Thomas Burns is a tough cookie. You know that. He doesn't mince any words. And this is the first time in 12 years that Thomas Burns couldn't make it to church. He's sick. And if he can't make it to church, you know the man is sick. And so we're going to pray for him today. He had some kind of a virus, and it hit him Wednesday or Thursday. He thought he would get over it, and it just kept coming back. And is it called Montezuma's Revenge? Did I pronounce that right? Keep going. I did it right. But anyway, so that's something like that he has. So we need to pray for him. Everybody got the picture. Okay, this is the last one I'm going to read here. All of us know that God is in total control. But we also know there's a devil and that God has allowed him to run to and fro on the earth and create pain among the believers in Christ. It is obvious that our ministry is being cursed all the time from people in the world government, people in the occult, and from people who do not like us. God has not answered their prayers, but the devil will. God moved upon one person for the last 3 months who has been giving money for us to buy paper for printing Christian Dynamics Course Number 1. Last week, we used this designated money and purchased a paper at cost of $3,000, $3,069. It is now safely in our print shop. That has been answered. We've been praying for about 3 or 4 months. But we are dragging on by the church finances. We have 1 week to go, and we owe $2,000 on the rent for our church building. That's here. We are some 10 weeks behind on paying social security taxes for the pastors, that's Charles and me. There are also unpaid bills. Pray that God will give us a great financial miracle this week. I believe this is the first week we didn't get one check in the mail. For some reason, folks, you are out there, there was not one letter coming in. So this week, we didn't get any income at all during the week. And so we really need to pray for this, that God will simply move. And that we will not have go from month to month and have a serious problem. So please pray for us. Break the curses. And if you're watching us right now, if it is possible for you to cut a check, drop it in the mail Monday so that we can have it by midweek. It'd be appreciated. Let me take you to Pakistan now. Pakistan is going through what probably the greatest or the most severe attack it ever has. 20 million people are without homes. Now, an area, if I could put it here in California, it will be like we will be flooded from Redding to Fresno. You know the valley. From the foothills to the mountains going into the Bay Area. That whole area has been flooded up to 5 feet of water. Their homes are gone. Roads are washed out. And this is the area where they grow all their food, in this valley area. And their crop was destroyed this year. The city of Karachi, which is a seaport of Pakistan, they rely upon this. And I warned you here that, you know, if something happens, there's only food for about 4 to 5 days in the cities. Karachi ran out of food about 2 or 3 days ago. There's no food coming in from the surrounding area because that was destroyed. Their cattle drowned. Their chickens drowned. Their goats, everything is wiped. Here's the thing I want you to think about. The first country to pour in some aid, guess what? The United States of America. We have 1 billion Muslims in the world. Saudi Arabia, one of the richest nations in the world, Muslim, will not lift a finger and put anything in. No other Muslim countries came to their aid. But America, that they kick around all the time. We need to pray because God is, there's a judgment. Because we have worked with William Johnson, we work with other people in Pakistan and try to get the gospel in, and you know how defiant the Muslims are. But God is simply saying, I'm sick and tired of this. Let's pray that God will open the hearts of the Pakistani people, that they will be saved. There's no water. They're going to have cholera, all kind of diseases. So we need to pray for them. I realize you and I could have been a Pakistani if God not had us born some other place. So let's pray. People that want to come up and pray, our regular team, come on up.
Heavenly Father, once again we come to you asking. We remember that unless we ask, we cannot receive, because you have told us to ask that we may receive. And you have promised us if we ask, we will receive. So we thank you for this simple truth, and we ask that you would continue to take care of all of our financial needs. You know them even better than I do. You know that we need $2,000 more for rent for this month of August, which is almost gone. And we know that you know about the taxes that have been overdue and the other bills. We know that you know them all, and we're asking and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
And I pray for Peter Moores. I praise you, Jesus, that you are with him and that you have that he has been taken through deliverance and that he is now free from all the excess baggage that he had inside. So I pray, Jesus, that you will be with him now and that you will make sure that he gets all the follow-up and that he will be diligent and himself to pray and to do everything that is in his power as a free person, to go through all the follow-up lessons and get everything done. And it is truly rewarding to do that. So I thank you, Jesus, and I praise you that you will work with him and that you will do all the work that he needs.
Father God, I just come thank you, Father, for the way you're dealing with the gas and the oil prices throughout the world, Lord God. I give you all the praise and honor and glory for that. I thank you for lowering the prices and not allowing them to go up any higher. And Lord, I just pray that you will bind every demon and demonic force that's attached itself to the gas and oil prices throughout the world, Lord God. And that the people that are in control of the pricing, Lord God, that you will humble their hearts, Lord God, and that you will have them to see that the prices don't need to be this high, Lord God. And Lord, I just know that you're taking charge over the situations throughout the world. And Lord, I give you all the praise and honor and glory for it. I thank you, Lord God, praising you all the day long. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, we lift up to you Vasily Kostrygin, Lord. We lift him up at the throne room. And we want to ask you, Lord, for a creative miracle in that man's body right now, in his mouth and the teeth, the gums. Let it be a miracle, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, we trust in you. You are the God that healeth us. You are the great physician. And we ask you right now for your divine intervention in that Vasily's life, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we want to thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, for touching him in such a mighty way. In such a mighty way, O Lord, that this will be once and for all removed out of his mouth, out of his body, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and that he will enjoy good health, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And your name will be glorified, Lord, because you are where the medical profession fails. So, Lord, you come through with healing in your wings. And we thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, for touching him in such a mighty way. Also, we pray, Lord, that you show Vasily's heart, line it up with the word of God, we pray. Let him search and see if there's any open door anywhere. We pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that that door will be shut close. We pray in the name of Jesus, and the devil will have no room to afflict him. We pray in the name of Jesus, and we thank you. Praise you, Heavenly Father, for what you are going to do, and that you make all things work together for good to them that love you, to them that are called according to your purpose. And we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Father God, we just thank you for using Sister Cheryl in such a mighty way and blessing her for bringing this man named Randy into the kingdom. You called him and you chose him. And he knows that he's supposed to be a preacher. And we pray, Father God, that he be an evangelist with the people on the streets that he's known, that he's lived with for I don't know how many years. But we thank you and praise you for calling him and choosing him. Your timing is so perfect for a person's life. And we know that your timing for this man, Randy, is perfect for what you have for him to do. And we thank you and praise you, Lord, that he'll do everything that you ask him to, that he'll not be shy, that he'll shout it from the rooftops about Jesus Christ and give God all the glory and all the honor in everything that he does. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Father, we lift up a man, this man, Peter, here once again, and that Now that he's gone through the actual deliverance itself, and it's not like everything is done, but it's a process, and the process really ends when we leave this earth. So, Father, we just ask that when he comes to finding himself and being the man that you created and intended him to be, that he would become that, that he would grow in Christ, and that he would have a whole lot of fruit when he leaves this earth, of after serving you and doing the things that you want him to do. Father, we also lift up the political leaders in Belgium, that they sit and squabble, and here in the U.S. it's a lot of smoke and mirrors. There's no real difference between Democrats or Republicans. It's just one evil or another evil, but basically it's some form of evil. And a few people here and there are some nice, bright, shiny examples of what a Christian can be who stands up in politics. Father, you know how everything is going to end here on this earth. You've predicted it. You've given us this book of Revelation to reveal stuff to us. You saw years and years ago that this European Union would form, that its headquarters would be in Brussels, and that you know how it is going to be used by the Antichrist. So, Father, we can't undo what's going to happen in the future, but we know that we can delay it. And so, Father, we just ask that give us a chance. Give the deliverance team, all the Christians in Belgium, all of us, all around the world, Father God, we'd like to have more time, because it comes down to souls. The Father, we'd like to have as much time as possible to be able to delay the inevitable of when the Antichrist will finally come to power. So, Father, we just thank you that we have because we ask, and that you will give us this prayer request. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father God, I lift up our brother Thomas to you, Lord God. Father, some kind of organism has attacked his body, and Father, we don't know what it is, but you do, and we ask you, Lord, to come against that, to purge his body of whatever it is that is attacking him, and to raise him up quickly, Lord God, for he needs to be taking care of his business, which is employing quite a few men that depend on the work that you give them, Lord, and we thank you for the work you've given them, and we thank you that Satan couldn't take that away, so he knocked down Thomas. But Lord God, we break every curse in the name of Jesus that has been spoken against him, and we come against all the evil powers that are trying to wipe him out and to make him inoperable. Father God, we know your strength. We know you love Thomas, and that you're going to raise him up quickly, Lord God, right now, today, that he will start getting his strength back and he will be fine. Father, we thank you for it. We thank you for your healing power. We thank you for your care, your love, and your concern for us. Father God, we don't deserve anything that you give us, but you give it anyway. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for all the people that have been giving money to this church, Father God, over the years. And Lord, I just pray your blessing upon all of them. But Father God, I want to pray particularly for the person that single-handed, Lord, month after month gave the money, Lord, where we finally had enough money. We had $3,000 to buy the paper. And I pray a specific blessing, Father God, as these books are going to be going out around the world, that, Father God, the dividend would come to this man, Father God, not only for here, but through eternity. That, Lord, that man invested some of his funds in something tangible, Lord, that's going to be used not only in the United States, but in different parts of the world. People are going to come to Christ. They're going to be healed, delivered. And Father God, I thank you right now that you're going to meet that man's, all his needs, physically, spiritually, and health-wise, Lord. And I praise you for that. And Father God, we want to lift up the people in Pakistan. Lord, it's been a disaster there that generation has never seen before. And Father God, thousands have died. Thousands are in the process of dying right now. And Lord, the Pakistani government does not have the resources to even begin to do something. And we thank you, Father God, for our country, that Lord, we have put some resources in there. But most of all, that you begin to speak to each Pakistani, Father God, men and women, that they will have visions of Jesus. As they lay there, they will understand that Muhammad is a liar and a fraud. And they will see that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is a friend of the Pakistani people. Jesus loves them. Oh God, we don't have enough missionaries to send. There are not enough Christians in Pakistan to do the job, Lord. Please use the Holy Spirit and do a supernatural revival awakening that the world has never seen since the day of Cambodia 1975. And we thank you for that. Thank you, Father God, for hearing our prayers. We bless you, we praise you now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Let's have the outlines handed out.